I wish you a wonderful good morning. Nice to have you with us again. And let us start this beautiful day with a prayer. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful day. We thank you for the privilege of living, of having a heart that gives us a new day and lungs that function right. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are ready for this day and that you want to make us ready for this day, for everything that you have planned and everything that is on your heart. We ask, Holy Spirit, help us to receive everything that you want to teach us this morning. Amen. This morning, we have a very, very special and wonderful truth that we want to look up in the Bible. And it's about making your life more complicated and more stressful and more that more of your life is more getting tired. And isn't this a wonderful truth? And isn't this a wonderful strategy you were definitely looking for and praying for many, many years to get your life more stressful and more complicated? No, of course not. But we want to look at John 15 this morning, where Jesus gives us a command that maybe sometimes feels that it's too much. And sometimes maybe we think, yes, I believe in God, and yes, I am fascinated about God, and I really love God. He gives me a lot. He gives me peace. He gives me joy. He gives me love. I find my value and all that stuff, and that's wonderful. But sometimes, if we are honest, sometimes we think, God, why is it so radical? Why is it so much? Why are you asking so much of me? Isn't life complicated enough? Do we have to get all those laws again? Like you have to love your next as yourself or even as Christ loves you? Isn't that too much? Wouldn't it be much more easy if I'm allowed to have some bitterness? Wouldn't it be much more easy if I'm allowed to sometimes lose my patience with my kids? Or sometimes, say bad words about my boss. Or sometimes be not honest to my wife. It would be so much more easy. It would make my life more easy. And more, take that all that complicated stuff out of my life. Isn't it like that sometimes? Or do we feel sometimes like that? And sometimes we would be more happy if God would say, not love your next as I love you, but try, if you feel like it, to love your next. Of course, if the other person is not too weird and not overdoing it with treating you unjustly, wouldn't it be much more easy? And today we want to look at the story in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 41. There we have the amazing story of Joseph, and we see some stations in his life because you see a character of God and of love in his life that is in the Old Testament. Maybe also we see it in David, but there are not many people in which we see a purity of love that really is an example for us. And you maybe know the story, we know the story that it begins all in his family, where he is a little bit puffed up because God gives him dreams, the father gives him a nice robe, and he thinks he's the most wonderful guy in the whole world. And he lets his brothers feel it, and so he ends up being in Egypt, being a slave. And here's the first station where we really see his character. Being a slave, although you are born as the beloved son, having more rights than others, and now you ended up as being someone who has no rights at all, no value at all, except your good work, maybe. But we read in the Bible that Joseph was so different. He was not living according to his circumstances as people treated him. I believe he was shining, and I believe that whole process started because we see he was standing in front of Potiphar and he was ready. He was ready because his focus was already on God. And we see that from the first day he was an example for all the slaves in the house of Potiphar. And Potiphar saw him and he thought, probably, this guy is special. this guy is special, so I pick him as the slave I want in my house. And we read in the Bible, shortly after that, he took over the whole responsibility in the house of Potiphar. And I imagine that when he was thrown down into the pit, into the well by his brothers, and then brought up and sent to Egypt, I thought he was walking to Egypt, and maybe in the beginning he was thinking, they are so unfair, everything is so, it's the catastrophe, I don't want to live anymore, God, why don't you do something? And he was walking like this, following the camels to the direction to Egypt. Now I imagine that suddenly he reminds himself, wait a second, who am I? I'm not a slave. I have promises of God that I will be somebody who reigns. And then he was looking around, seeing just a desert and people being mean to him. But there was something in his heart, a truth in his heart that he took hold of, that he knew, I am not a slave. I have a calling of God in my life. And this is something that we so quickly and so often lose. And we just give it away. My boss is mean to you. I just give it away that my calling is being somebody who's so loved and forgiven and powerful, filled with the power of God. So quickly we give our whole calling away. Everything that Jesus died for. Everything that the Holy Spirit wants to do in me. Just because I've once been treated unfairly. Just because once my money is not on my bank account in the right day, I give my whole calling away that the God of heaven and earth promised to support me and to give me everything I need. But Joseph was different. He was determined, I am not a slave. And we see that attitude not only in Potiphar's house, we see it when it even gets worse. When he is in the prison, and he also there in the prison, he's so obviously not somebody who belongs to a prison. And the prison guard, he sees that guy's different. He's somebody who needs to lead that place. He's not a slave, full of sorrow, full of anger, full of bitterness. No, that guy is fresh. He has a power inside. There's something coming out of him. Because he's not determined by what circumstances or people do to him, but he's determined to change the circumstances. He's determined to love people and to serve. And also in the third station, when he's now standing in front of Pharaoh, it's so, so amazing to me how he talks to him. We read in Genesis 41, in verse 1, it says that how long has he been sitting in prison when 2 full years had passed. Pharaoh had a dream. So 2 years he was serving, he was reminding himself every day, I am not belonging to that place. I am not a slave. I am not a prisoner. And in his heart, he was not in prison because he lives a lifestyle that was full of power and full of freedom. And now he's standing in front of Pharaoh, and we read in the he's talking to Pharaoh, and in verse 16 we see, I cannot do it. So Pharaoh said, okay, you're the guy who can interpret dreams. No, I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. And also the following verses are so full of confidence, so full of that peace that God put and wrote in his heart in the last maybe 3 or 5 years. And this is such a wonderful example for us, because sometimes we are so burdened down, so stressed by everything in our life is going around, all the responsibility I have for my kids, in my work, for my house, with my finances, with my health. And it's so getting hard. And then even God comes along and says, you have to love as I love you. And we think, I don't have the power to do it.
I don't have the power to do it. People are mean to me. Life is stressful. I don't have any power. And that shows us we are not rooted in the power of God. And I found a very, very, very powerful verse in Romans 8. And this is for me one of the keys how to live a fulfilled, joyful, and not stressed life. Because we see in Joseph's life, it's not the number of to-dos on your list. It's not the measure of responsibility do you have. It's not how much people treat you nice or evil. Joseph showed us that we can live a life full of confidence and joy and peace in the midst of circumstances that cannot be worse. In the midst of people who could not be worse and more evil. But this verse shows us what Christ gave us. We find it in Romans 8, the verse 15. It says, the spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. So it's talking here about the spirit that we once all had. From the beginning, from the garden, from Adam and Eve, we had that spirit of slavery. That spirit of slavery that told us and that taught us every day, every moment we would listen. You are not able to. You have to do this. Otherwise, God will send you away. And you are not able. You're not able. You don't have enough power. You don't have enough things that you need to have a wonderful life. And we see that Jesus came to give us a whole new spirit. He did not just come to give us forgiveness. No, he changed us on the inside, giving us, as we read, a spirit of adoption, a spirit of sonship, of being a child of God. And by him, it says, goes on to say, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. So are you living according to the spirit of slavery that dictates your life and brings much stress into your life, much suppression, much oppression? Or do you live according to the spirit of sonship that teaches you you have free access to God every time, all the time? That spirit who is the spirit of power in your life that tells you you are able, you can do what the Bible says you should do, and you even have the desire to do it. And this is so wonderful. And sometimes we feel so stressed by our life, and it is because we are living according to the spirit of oppression and a spirit of slavery. Sin is not our slavery master. It was from the beginning, but we have been born again. And we received a spirit of being a child, having free access to, as we read, to Abba Father, where I know between God and me there's nothing except the things, the lies I put there. Because the Bible teaches us that God forgave us of everything we did. So sin is not being a wall between me and God if I want. Because God took the whole wall away. He forgave me of everything I did. But the problem is that we make the work of God in our lives an outward thing that we think, oh, thank you, God, for forgiveness, but not an inward thing. Where I know I received a whole new spirit that changed my life, that changes my attitude. And sometimes we maybe complain to God about all the commandments that we should love. And God will not take away that commandment ever. Because God did not give the commandment of love to put another burden on your life, but to take away all the burden. Because it's the way how I can live in that fellowship with God. You were never supposed to love people with a godly love from your own power, from your own ability of your emotions. That was never God's plan. And sometimes we think that God gave prayer, God gave us the Bible to put another burden on our life. Instead, He gave us His word. He gave us prayer to take away all the burdens. Sometimes we think, oh, we have such a good strategy to make our life more easy and more enjoyable. I just leave out prayer because prayer is taking so much time. And so I have a good, wonderful strategy. I just, in stressful days, I just leave out prayer. I just don't open the Bible. That's a wonderful strategy. I have much more time to do all my things. And in the end of the day, we realize it's so tragic that we left out life itself. Life itself was knocking on my door, but the whole day I was too busy for letting life into my heart. And I read yesterday about a study they made in the TU of Vienna, and they came to the conclusion that we pick up our smartphones about 80 times a day. And they found out that people who use their smartphone much are not more satisfied, and they're even with their working days and also with their days off. So I want to really challenge me and us. Let us be very, very, very careful about what we give our attention to. Picking up our smartphones 80 times a day is not the will of God. Except you use it just for your work. But normally it's not the case. Somebody said the gold of our days is attention. What do I give attention to? And is it the digital world? Is it people's opinions? Is it my feelings? Or shouldn't it be in the first place His presence and His word? And of course we have family. We have 100,000 things to do. We all do. Joseph did. Jesus did. But still, we can live in a wisdom given by God. And that means I give the things in my life the right place. I give my smartphone and entertaining the right place. And the place is not on my throne. It's not on the throne of my heart. It's not picking up it 80 times a day. But giving His presence and serving people with a free and joyful heart. And maybe up till this day, I failed completely. And why not starting this day totally new with the promises of God? Like taking Joseph as our example, that we are able by the spirit of power and of sonship, that we are able to live a joyful and peaceful life in the midst of circumstances and people that could not be worse. That's the promise in the new covenant, that Spirit lives inside of you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your wonderful truth that you present this morning. And I thank you that your spirit of sonship teaches us that we are allowed to come near to you all the time, that we are able to live in your presence, that we are able to live in that promise that you have, even though we failed many times. But from this moment on, we want to start with you again, telling you, Holy Spirit of sonship, rule my life, rule my heart, rule my thoughts, and give me wisdom to kick out every lie and every distraction, every entertainment there is there in my life that distracts me from giving my whole attention to you and to your promise and what you planned for this day. I thank you that your Spirit of sonship teaches me to draw near, to meet you, to have fellowship, to have an encounter with you, because it says Abba, Father, in my heart all the time. And I thank you that this day you are teaching us to listen to the Spirit of sonship and really also realizing when the spirit of slavery is deceiving us. Amen.